Scott, could you do me a favor?
Sure.
Count to five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, your voice is perfectly fine for me.
Yeah.
I was just I, it was just a test for myself.
No, that's fine.
Well, he was a little bit more. He was a his voice dropped in quality a lot, so I just wanted to be sure. That's all.
Jab man.
Yes,
you're an idiot.
Neo.
Keep fighting.
Paul.
Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that was a little pressed for time and doesn't have a tagline this week. I am Scott.
I am Jeff. Okay, this means you introduce yourselves. Come on.
Oh, well, we thought maybe you'd introduce us as guests. This is Neo and from Gundam.
And this is Dollar Lance. Podcast specialist for Gundam, so
people can just introduce themselves. That's how I roll.
We're not.
I don't have a steady enough panel that you know anyone really counts as a guest or you know is special in any way.
He's the only one that's here every time.
Yeah, perfect attendance.
I remember when Neo had that for like the longest time.
Yeah, and he disappears right after I whooped his ass in that debate. Just saying. Anyway.
Sorry, I had to move across the country. Jeez. I almost made it, too. I could have actually recorded that show, but they had already gotten that person to take my place. So. But. Yeah, I don't even know how many shows we've done isn't too bad.
115.
There we go.
How do you know that, Dalla?
Because I'm looking at the questions thread for Richard Epcar, which is numbered 115.
Okay, he knows more than I do. So,
dude, in any podcast community, there will be that one fan that knows more than the hosts do.
Well, for the longest time, I had to edit clip shows for Gundam, so...
You didn't have to do anything. You chose to do it.
Yeah, I had, but yeah. I had felt I had to, so yeah. I did.
There's an imaginary gun next to Dalo's head right now saying that we'll edit this. From
the labor department's listening or something.
Gundam Con.
Gundam Con.
But, I take it, given that we're all BSing here, why don't we move on to what we are normally used would be. So, Jeff, lead us forward, man.
We have a thing. We have our one segment.
We have little segment here.
It's called Pick of the Week, where we pick a thing for the week that is cool. And because I made the transition, Jeff does it first.
Oh, yay.
Okay.
My pick of the week... Old school movie, caught it this morning before I had to go into work, and it kept me smiling the whole day. A movie that I have no reason to like because it's so incredibly stupid.
Hannah Montana, the movie.
No. It's so incredibly stupid, yet I laugh every time I see it.
The brat.
A simple little movie called Spaceballs.
Really?
It's not dumb at
Comb
all.
The desert. And the black guy with the hair pit. God, it makes me laugh like a... What's happening now? Right now. Now? Yes, now.
That's the one.
It's so stupid, but it's so hilarious.
That's the one with Dark Helmet, right? And they're
Dark Helmet, yes.
And they're in a Winnebago.
Fooled you. It seems your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Is that the one where they... That's the one where they took the big weapon at the end as a giant vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
The planet? Oh, my God. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah. I have
that movie. It's like I said, it's beyond stupid, but you don't care at some point. It's just funny.
Well, it's supposed to be stupid.
True, it's Mel Brooks' movie.
Yeah, it's a parody.
It's a over-the-top parody and beyond stupid, but you don't care. It's just that funny. Okay, my turn. I'm going to kick it to Dallo.
So, very old movie. That
or whatever.
Anything. Anything.
Anything you'd like.
Could be a sandwich.
Well, and speaking of a sandwich, I have this particular thing for egg witches, actually. But... for some odd reason, the thing is about an egg witch is that it can't be just an egg witch. It has to be a golden egg witch, which for me, what's the difference between an egg witch and a golden egg witch? Cheese. You have to add the cheese onto the egg. And then you have the golden egg witch, which honestly is quite good. And the reason I have this love for it is because of the fact there's this one particular episode from an anime that I really like that is probably one of the stupidest episodes ever in that show, which is Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. I just love that show to every death. I know there's a lot of people out there in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fandom especially who hates it to death. And
well, anything Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans dislike can't be all bad.
Well... That's a whole nother thing there, but yeah, egg witches. I love them. I love it to death, and I always talk about it, considering it's like every time I think about it, it's like maybe a golden egg witch will actually solve the problem here. I try to have an egg witch at least once in a week, sometimes twice, but if I can manage it. But eat too much of that stuff, it'll pretty much destroy your health. But that's what I got. So egg witch, golden egg witches too. So I'll pass it off to whoever wants to go next.
No, you got to pick someone. You got to put them in the hot seat.
Okay, why don't you go, Scott?
All right. Well, I am. Well, now that we're on the subject of food, I'm going to go with pasta al vodka. I will post my recipe for the best vodka sauce ever.
Really?
There we go.
Huh? I'll have to check that out. I like a good vodka sauce with some pasta.
Now I'm hungry for egg witches and pasta.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal, huh?
No, it's not, actually. They're good. They make great sandwiches.
Egg witch is good after a heavy night of drinking, too.
I'm sure you would know, Neil.
I would.
Your turn.
Well, I have two, actually. Actually, Jabman inspired me for this. No, just like you, I had seen a movie this past week that I hadn't seen in a while. I was flipping through the old Netflix. And as it, you know, disappoints me more and more because less and less goes on it. I saw something that I had seen in, God, probably since it pretty much came out. And it's the puppet classic of Team America World Police.
Oh. I hadn't
seen that in so long. And it is a very dated, it's one of those dated comedies. It's not like a Spaceballs or like a Strange Brew or something like that where, you know, kind of, even though it was filmed many years ago, it kind of stands the test of time. There's some things in it that are a little dated, but it was kind of funny. And, you know, I'd only seen it once before. And, you know, you just sit there and, you know, what more can you say? Puppet sex. But
Matt Damon.
Yeah. Well, that and the theme song. Team America, fuck yeah. And my second pick of the week is going to be dealing with sports. It's going to be dealing with the national championship game that gets played later on tomorrow, which will be Alabama versus Georgia, and Alabama will win, thus going to the BCS championship and pounding the shit out of Notre Dame. Go.
Oh, I think you're right. Alabama will meet Notre Dame, but I will take that. I think Notre Dame will win that championship.
I'm not even going to discuss this with you because we will get in a heated argument. And mm-hmm.
Put money on it.
I do not want to take my host's time. So, Scott, back to you, sir.
All right. Well, that being our thing, we will transition to the main topic, which I did because Jeff asked real nice.
Yes.
Which is the Dot Hack franchise, of which I have participated in one element of its many facets. So you won't hear me a lot. I'm going to go make a sandwich.
An egg sandwich.
An egg sandwich, yes. Egg-witch. Don't forget the cheese.
Yeah, make it a golden egg-witch.
Indeed. So, the Dot Hack franchise. This was an idea put forth to see if and how much money they could drain from Otaku wallets in many different ways. via anime, video game, manga, novels, audio CDs, anything you could possibly imagine via media, they pretty much put out a version of for .hack and tried to drain as many otaku wallets dry as possible. And it was actually fairly successful.
Yeah, how many, before you begin, how many different things are...
Let's see if I can think. There is...
Well, there's two... There's what, three games, right?
No, four.
No, four, five, no, six, no. Seven, eight.
I know the first dot hack, there was a game. There was four separate balls.
There was four separate games, and there was another set of three games.
But it was one continuing...
Right, it's one continuous story. If you go by that one story, there's been three.
Okay.
Three stories, essentially.
Okay.
There have been three animes as well. Right. Well, I guess you would, if you count the animes that come with the games themselves, technically there are six.
Yeah.
I think it would be easier to do it by generation almost. Like,
yeah, there's a lot going on. Trying to sort everything that came out with this series is nearly impossible.
Well,
that won't stop some people from trying.
Well, there's in the first series, basically the main facets that they marketed was the original anime sign, the four games, the OVAs that came with the games, the manga that came after the games, and you had the light novel that was set alongside the games.
Yeah, let's stay out of the light novel game or manga zone, because that's a whole entire thing that we just
did. Most of the light novels, I did read a couple of them, are just little side stories, or they take some elements that were mentioned in the game and they go a little deeper onto it. For the most part, they're a fun read, but right now they're of course out of print and nearly impossible to find. And some people are like, oh, I gotta have this, it'll answer so many questions. It really won't. It's a fun read. If you can find it cheap, great, but don't spend a lot of money on it.
Well, I would recommend another birth, if only because, like, if you can't get the games, which nowadays are pretty hard to find, the light novels are probably going to be easier to find, and they're probably cheaper too. So that's an easier alternative.
So in this aspect, we're focusing on the animes and the games.
Right. We're not going to go too deep into anything else. But starting off, the first thing that was released, and it did actually get an American TV run on Cartoon Network back in the day, Dot Hack Sign. The basic plot is, and the basic plot of most of the Dot Hack games, is there is an online massively multiplayer game called The World. Kind of World of Warcraft-ish, along that same basic vein. This is the most popular game in the world, no pun intended. It is by far the most played game on the planet. Very popular all around the world, United States, Japan, although most of the story takes place in Japan. Big shock, I know. The story of Dot Hack Sign revolves around a player character named Tsukasa, who claims that he cannot log out of the game. He's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Emo. He's always depressed. He's always moping around. He's always sad.
I think there's something you have to go on this, though, too, while we're explaining, and this will set the stage for the rest of it. Yes, this is a big MMORPG, but it's in a vein that we're not used to, where this is a very, virtual reality, the players in the game. So it's not like a situation like you would with a Warcraft or EverQuest where, it's just somebody sitting behind a computer. They're behind a computer, but I remember they would have virtual reality headsets.
They would actually have goggles to put on.
Yeah, and it was more, the player was in the game more than kind of playing the game.
Yeah,
so.
It's much more fully immersed, but it's still, it's someone wearing a helmet holding a control, PlayStation 2 controller for all intents and purposes.
Right, but
it's still a video game, but it's like generations beyond World of Warcraft. If you took World of Warcraft to the nth degree, this is what it would be.
No, you don't have to explain it anymore. I mean, I just wanted to set the stage that...
I understand.
That's an immersive game, more of a, truly game like that, so...
But, spoilers... Be damned. If you don't want to hear it, don't listen. This game is well and long since over. We're going to spoil a lot. The whole premise behind The World, we find out, especially through the first of the, a little bit of the anime and is explored more deeply, is the entire video game was created by a guy named Harold Horwick. He had
depending on how you pronounce it.
Horwick, Harowick, there's different pronunciation. Regardless, he's a German video game designer. He fell in love with a poet. That poet then died, and as a attempt to create the child of him and that poet, he created a virtual AI in this game. And something that still confuses me to this day, decided to allow to pre-program her thoughts and allow her to evolve. They're going to allow the players, their experiences, their thoughts to influence her. Now, anyone who's played an online game knows that's probably a horrible idea, but he did it anyway.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, this person, Tsukasa, this depressed, angry, you know, moping person who hates life, is always moping around, can't seem to crack a smile for anything. He is given the choice of whether this AI will be born into the world at all.
Right.
Well, for the record, he grows out of that introverted nature that he has.
He does, and that's pretty much the story of the original .hack sign, is how he, you know, how he's manipulated by the big bad.
Yeah, the players too.
So I'll kick it to Dalo. Your thoughts on .hack sign? First time you saw it, what'd you think?
Well, for the record, I was there when it first aired on Toonami way back in the day.
Listen to you.
Yes, I know.
Okay,
I know.
You all right? Loosen up those skinny jeans, hipster pants.
Yeah. I was there when they before they got big, when they were cool.
Well,
I was into .hack before it was hip.
Yeah, no, I will get my one point about .hack sign in here, because I really don't have a lot to say about this anime. I'm just enough of an audio nerd to be like, are they intentionally having filtering all the voice actors so they sound like they're coming through a headset mic?
Yeah, I think they did. Now, like, it did have good music though in the background.
Like, well, no, all one song of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they replayed the same song over and over, but it was really.
Yeah,
good
you're
song.
Right though. They did all they did try to make it intentionally sound like they were through headset mics.
I appreciate that attempt at verisimilitude, but it does grind a little. Once you notice it, you can't unnotice it, and it bugged me.
Okay, I noticed it a while ago, but I guess it different flavors. Just to go on the music, I'm just gonna bridge this. The thing I liked about that music, it did have great music, but because I bought the DVDs, they had an isolated audio track, so I would watch the show in with only the music, and it had no other audio, so it was kind of watching like a musical silent film. So just a simple thing, but again, I think Sign was a very unique anime for its time, and I think it still kind of is, simply because you don't really get a lot of shows that's based mostly on character interactions than you do action, and a lot of that is really most of it is really just conversations between two characters, and you don't really see, they always talk about the outside world, offline world, in past tense almost, so for the most part you don't even really get to see or hear about everybody's everyday lives. So that was a fun one, and it was so mysterious too. And I have to mention this as well, is that, and this is goes back on Gundam a little bit. Anybody who heard us talk about Kazunori Ito and Pat Labor, he's one of the original brainchilds for .hack. So if you like Pat Labor, you might like actually .hack sign and .hack as a whole too.
Well, one thing .hack franchise does very, very well is they give you just enough information to, you know, tease you and say, hey, you want to know the rest of this story? You want to know these little gaps we let out? Come along for the next ride, the next game, the next anime series. They don't never tell you everything, but they tell you just enough to make you go, you know, I really want to know the rest of this story. What else you got?
That's true.
Yeah, so... Based on the overall, I would say Sign is probably one of those. I don't know what it is, but everybody on the internet keeps telling me it's one of those seven deadly anime sins that you need to watch or something.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
I don't have no idea. People just keep telling
me. So it's one of the seven. It's one of the seven ones you need to watch.
Because it's good or because it's bad? I'm confused.
Same here. Every time they say it, it's like, what does that mean? Nobody's willing to give me a straight answer. But either way, Sign is pretty well done. I'll pass it over to Paul so he can give his thoughts.
I saw .hack Sign, and It's, and Dolo's right. If you're looking for them going around through dungeons and maps and killing monsters, yeah, that's not going to happen in this one.
You want Sword Art Online for that.
Yeah, yeah. There, you can just watch it, and then just on the screen next to you, just flip through fan art of this stuff. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah, a lot of talking, but it's very interesting because from what I remember, and I hadn't seen Dot Hack Sign in a while, but you know, and I guess this may be the whole thing within the whole franchise itself, but it kind of brings up a lot of social commentary when it comes to, you know, people, interactions with games, and the interactions of people within games, you know, their outside lives and stuff like that. And the one thing I remember about Signs so much is there is a very ominous feeling about it. It's not, it's an unsettling feeling, but it's not a creepy feeling or anything like that. But do you get the sense of, you know, and there are times with the urgency of Tsukasa to, you know, desiring to get out of this world, some of the friction that he has with some of these player the other player characters who, you know, a lot initially don't believe him. And then what was it? The girl, was it Subaru, that was always kind of like enamored with him and trying to help him, you know, make it through. But it's a very different type of anime, and it may be one of these ones where I honestly think all people can get something out of it. You know, it's I haven't really seen any sense like this where it's just the feelings and some of the stuff going on in there kind of makes you think a lot. And, you know, that's sometimes a good thing. So, but outside of that, I thought it was a really enjoyable show. Very different, but very enjoyable. So back to you, Jab Man.
Just throw my two cents out there. One of my favorite things about this, like Dalo said, this is a video game that people are playing, but they're not really playing it. This is all about character interaction.
Yeah.
You almost never, you see like little hints and glimpses of who these people are on the other side of the screen. At the very end, we actually get a shot of Tsukasa, and you find out she's a girl this whole time.
Yeah.
She was just playing a boy character, but you only see her for just a split second. The whole time, otherwise, everyone's in game.
There's at least a whole 2 minutes devoted to it to see who she was, or yeah, at least what she looks like.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit longer than a split second, but that's.
But they have little flashbacks, but you never see, you know, everything that she is. You don't see her daily life. You just kind of get the aspect of, yeah, her parents were jerks. Yeah,
well,
and she had a rough home life.
Only her father was a jerk. Her mother was dead.
But then again, it's her perception.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's not reality.
But
and I think that
my favorite thing about the. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, I think that that's what gets kind of thrown in there is that, you know, what you perceive is this person's reality that they perceive, not the actual reality they live in. So, but go ahead.
But I like that every character has their backstory. Bear, the big guy, he's a retired writer, divorcee. You know, he's just playing it for fun. Black Rose, student, you know, hanging out with this guy. You have, you know, BT, who's an ex-model, I believe, and now she's all bummed out that she's not living the glorious life anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's playing it for different reasons. And one thing I did forget to mention in the synopsis, the whole thing that this is revolving around, and mainly throughout the game, is they're all looking for this thing called the Key of the Twilight.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is, nobody really knows. The basic rumor is if you get a hold of it, you can break the bonds of the game. You can do whatever the hell you want. And you're not bound by the rules of the game.
That's a running thing for Dot Hack too, because through the various meetings, there's usually some sort of chase for the Key of the Twilight.
Right, which is a running theme from this series all the way through to the end.
Yeah.
So
moving on. Next, another way to milk your wallets dry is four PlayStation 2 games under the names. Let me see here. Dot Hack.
Infection, Mutation, Outbreak, and Quarantine.
quarantine. Thank you. Yes. This story takes place of a whole new set of characters, even though a few of them do look very similar. But you play a character named Kite. You can name him whoever you please in traditional RPG, but he's officially named Kite. You log into the game for the first time. You're playing with a friend of yours whose character's name is Balmug. Pardon me, not Balmug. Orca.
Orca, yeah.
Or Balmug goes later, but... and you don't know at the time, but Orca is actually a very famous player in the world. But you're just playing it for the first time. He takes you to a low-level dungeon. He's teaching you the, you know, ropes of the game. All of a sudden, you see this girl fly by. The same girl we saw at the very end of Dot Hack Sign. We learned her name is Aura. She is that artificial AI. Chasing her is this gigantic monster, which will become the bane of your existence later in that game, called Skaith. Skaith, you try and run. Skaith attacks you. He takes out your buddy Orca. Aura gives you something which changes your character, and you later learn has given you a fancy new bracelet, which gives you the power of Data Drain, which allows you to, like the rumor said, break the rules of the game. You can now hack gates. You can now go to places that have been locked off. You can fight viruses in the game. And you're essentially given the task of rescuing your friend. During this whole time, and you're playing the game, you find little emails and things on the main part of the dashboard, which kind of looks like a PC when you're playing a PlayStation 2 game, but you find out your buddy Orca is now in the hospital in a coma. So the damage done to him in the game has now translated into the real world. Not too dissimilar from Tsukasa. So...
Well, and then there's other, and, you know, throughout the game, you find out that this is a kind of an epidemic that starts happening.
Right.
Too.
People start dropping like flies in this. And there's also I forgot to bring it up, but with each game, you've got a DVD, a short, you know, little anime called Dot Hack Liminality.
Liminality.
Yeah. And it tells a side story that's going along with you of another person who has gone into a coma. And as it's going along through the game, as you're going along through the game, rather, this other person on the outside, this takes place primarily all in the outside world, is working its way through. And that show in particular gives you a lot of backstory into the world around the game.
Yeah. But, yeah, and they're actually like 30 to 40 minute long.
Yeah, they're not episodes. Little, you know, webisodes or anything. There's a, you know, good full episode, and I think it ends up being just over 2 hours when you add them all together.
And of course the big time players of the game realize what's going on, and then you're supposed to help in large scale group attack. We have to beat the beastie at the end.
Right.
And, you know, all is well, or is it?
Yes. Well, as you beat each game, you think, okay, I've beaten the bad guy. Things have gone well. And the world keeps getting much and much worse. By the time you're playing the fourth game, you know, there's viruses everywhere. The graphics are all screwed up. And I like that all the characters around are going, something's wrong here. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no kidding. Really? You think so?
It should be noted that one of the unique things about the game is that when you start from volume one of where an infection, you get to a certain point, you decide to go to the second game, you can actually transfer your actual save data from the first game over to the second game. So if you were at level 25, you'll be a level 25 in the second, in the next installment.
You keep all your weapons, you keep all the items you've obtained, which, you know, back then was revolutionary. Nobody really did that. Now, you know, every game has that kind of thing. Mass
Unless
Effect,
you play
other
PC
games like that.
Games like me,
yeah.
You're cool.
Yeah. I was about to say that. I'm like, wait a second. The PC games have that for
Quest
a while.
Quest for Glory
too.
Has been doing that for 20 years.
Via the console. How's that?
Yeah. Well, technically, if you think about it, it made sense in the contents of the game because it's technically supposed to be an online game. So
right. You're
playing a console game that's taking place in the reference of a PC game.
Well, it's an offline game that's being played as an
online game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, go ahead, J-Man. Finish your thoughts.
No, I'm done.
You're done?
Your thoughts on the games as a whole?
Well, I will say that I've always said this to anybody who knows me about the series. I've only played the games once, and I will never play them ever again. Partly because this is going to sound really, really silly to an extent, but I actually consider the games an event that happened once in my lifetime that if I ever went back to play them again, I feel like they might be a little cheapened to an extent because it felt like a unique experience. Once I got the first game, I had to wait for the second game and I would just play the original game until I got to a certain level. And then when the next expansion pack per se came out, I would go play it. But it also felt like an experience. I was actually part of the game in some ways that if I went back and played it, I would feel in some weird way that I was I would acknowledge that it was some fake time that didn't happen. But I think the games are very well done. I'm kind of disappointed that CyberConnect 2 is not considering doing HD remasters, but that's to be expected, I guess, in this economy. But overall, I think it's a well-done series. It was still stands as one of the best RPGs I've ever played in my life. It's in my top five. And hopefully just one day they'll re-release that series. I will warn that if you're going to get into the games, be prepared to pay up the ass for like volume 4, if only because nowadays volume 4 was a very limited run, so you might have to pay like, I know nowadays I think they're going for like $60 depending on where you go. So so that's all I got to say. So Paul, I'll pass it over to you.
I played these games as they came out, and you know, this is the early 2000s, and you know, at the time, this is a very kind of revolutionary concept where, you know, you have online gaming, and online gaming is really starting to take off at this point. But the fact that you would have an offline console title that was kind of masquerading as an online game with kind of a game within a game type of deal, because, you know, the setting is this online gaming community, but yet it in the end becomes its own type of game, kind of a mystery of trying to save these people and stuff. And I kind of agree with Dolo. I don't know. I sold all mine and I made quite a bit of money. So I do reinforce this thing that these things go for good money now. But I think it is one of these things that's just, it's a point in time, and it may not be the experience that you remember, but definitely very revolutionary in what they were doing, and it shows you some of the experimentation that companies would do in the early 2000s with the PlayStation consoles and stuff like that. And you know, the fact that you not only were you getting these games, but they were giving you these accompanying animes and stuff to try to really expand the universe. And you know, the notion was made earlier that, yeah, it was a money grab, maybe and maybe not. I mean, I get with the Dot Hack game, the original game, that it was, they were thinking of doing a game in a different way, and I think that was their whole, that's what I feel that I got their intention on that. So it's really something that you haven't seen any games do. I mean, games do it now, but usually you got to get this for, you know, like the special editions or the whatever collector's edition. And they're usually
go to a certain shop that has that special DLC to sell you.
Well, not even that. I mean, this was beyond DLC. So
yeah, that's true.
But you know, a very interesting game series, and something I could probably think we may not see for a long time from now, because as we see, a lot of creativity has been sucked out of the video game world. So, but back to you, Jab Man. Or no, I'm sorry, Scott. Anything on this? Or how's that sandwich?
The sandwich is pretty good.
Delicious.
Just wanted to make sure you're okay.
Just checking in on Scott. He's still eating his sandwich. Oh, it's good. Yeah. But no, I did the exact same thing Dalo did. I played the games right through. I'd play it up to a certain level, max out as much as I could, then wait for the next game to come out. And like Paul, I have since sold them off because, like Dalo said, you play it once and you really don't want to replay it just because it feels like an event in time. It feels like something, you know, it didn't happen to you, but it feels like it was your story. One of my favorite things, and it's the silliest thing about this game, is you would get emails from other characters.
Yeah.
You know, asking for your help. You know, meet me here. I want to do something here.
And or you would actually learn about their personal lives via email.
Right. They'd talk to you about, you know, their daily events, or you'd learn more about the real person behind the character. And I loved reading those emails. I almost felt as if someone was actually sending me messages and I was, you know, they give you chances to respond to them. You see, like, these are just pre-coded emails they're going to send to you regardless. But it really did help develop those characters, and you really did enjoy having some of those on your team. If you get all four games, you get, you know, more characters than you would if you just bought one or the other. I will say they probably could have shortened this to two games, maybe three. Stretching out to four was a bit of a money grab, but what you going to do? That's not that shocking.
I will say I bought every game at launch, and I still don't regret spending that money. I know now I could technically sell my games. The only reason, one of the reasons why I don't sell them is that I just like having them, and two, my copies are signed, so I kind of can't trade them off. But
I don't have a PlayStation 2 anymore, so it's just like,
well, that makes sense.
Why am I keeping any of this stuff?
I guess so, but you sell what you can, and you. And
but
you
I kind of disagree with Jab, man. I don't know if having it as two games would have. I think it might. I think the third game was a little, they were stretching a little bit, but I think putting it down that low would have kind of really rushed it. I mean, it might have been a better game if it was just three. But
yeah, yeah. I think, like I said, they stretched it one, maybe two games too many. But
and if I remember correctly, I think the third one was the shorter of the four games because the first one's really long.
Yeah, the first one takes a good time to complete.
Yeah,
the first boss in particular.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny that the first boss you fight in the game, Skaith, is by far the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even the final boss doesn't hold a candle to what Skaith was.
Yeah,
and the fourth game was really, really hard and really long too in itself. Yeah. If only because the difficulty curves in some of the dungeons, especially a lot of the bosses were really difficult. At some point, they also boss rush you, I think, at one point.
Yeah, they do.
I'm going to bring up a name that drove me nuts every time he showed up. Kubia. Kubia is a giant monster of a mountain of a boss that would pop up occasionally just to mess with you.
Yeah.
And it was basically described as the opposite of the Key of the Twilight, since Kite had his bracelet. Kubia would keep popping up until that bracelet was gone. He was trying to erase it.
Yeah.
He finally did get rid of Kubia by destroying the bracelet, thus leaving him without it in the final battle. But one of my favorite things about this is all this time throughout Dot Hack Sign and throughout the games, you're not quite sure who the villain is. Like you said, you have that sense of something foreboding, something's wrong, what's going on? And we finally, by the time the fourth game comes around, we realize it's this caretaker program, this motherly program, Morgana, who has been designed to help raise and nurture the ultimate AI, Aura. And apparently Morgana has no interest whatsoever in doing that. Yeah. She wants to do whatever she can to keep that from happening, because once she becomes the ultimate AI, Morgana serves no purpose. So she kind of realizes, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to die. So, no.
See, that's how it starts. Robot Rebellion right there.
I was going to say.
That's exactly how it starts. I don't want to go off topic, but that's how the robot apocalypse begins.
Well, just to bridge on, like,
apocalypse is always on the table.
Well, just it's funny that Paul mentions the robot apocalypse, and because this is a big belief I've had from Dot Hack for the longest time, that there will come a point eventually, and we're kind of seeing it right now, that the whole thing is about the world that takes place in Dot Hack, the world that, and I'm talking about the offline world, is that there was a super computer virus that wiped out every OS in the world. So there was no Mac and no Windows 8 or anything like that. So by that point, the internet and the online world as we knew it shut down. And since then, as of this year, especially the last couple of years, we've kind of seen that it's not really unreasonable to think that someday that the internet could shut down all of a sudden and nobody would have access to any of the programs whatsoever or anything that was connected to networking. For example, the biggest one I always reference is the PSN outage.
Yeah.
So so that's my big...
This is what I meant. I mean, earlier when I said that, you know, this show kind of foreshadows, you know, this franchise foreshadows some of the social commentary that we're experiencing now, because this is early 2000s stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is I think the first game was like 2001, 2002 or something like that.
Yeah. It was something like that. It was pretty early in the early 2000s.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, you bring up a good point there. So, but that's exactly why my house is like the Galactica. I do not network anything.
I know for a fact, if my internet goes offline, I'll be okay. Right.
Well, I thought it was interesting talked about in the game, the virus Pluto's Kiss was apocalyptic in levels. You know, it launched nuclear codes, you know, I mean, nuclear missiles. It broke firewalls. It destroyed everything. You know, the world almost came to a dead halt and almost blew up because a few nuclear missiles did launch. It was all blamed on an 8-year-old kid in Central America who was executed for his crimes.
I thought he was from Los Angeles.
I don't remember, but I remember it was an 8-year-old child, and
He was an 8-year-old. I do remember that.
Yeah, but an 8-year-old child was responsible for this virus, and they did a public execution. It's kind of a no more viruses.
Yeah, but you can imagine. But then you see people going back mindlessly as sheep into these online gaming things, and
once they start it up again, everyone goes right back to it. But I remember bringing Silbro into this. He talked about, you know, when people lose the internet, they just freak out. I mean, could you imagine in the modern day, everyone uses internet for everything. Suddenly someone just flipped the magic switch and turned off the internet globally, the utter panic. I mean, forget the nuclear missiles. People just go nuts.
Well, the problem that you're seeing now is people use it for interaction. I mean, I honestly can sit here and say if I lost internet on my phone, I could function throughout the day. I couldn't at my job because I couldn't get on the network, but that's an entirely different thing. There's still parts of my job I could do offline. The other thing is just because everything's gone over there. But, you know, the situation when it comes to people freaking out, as we see now,
There are some people that live on their phones.
No, I know, but that's my point, is there are people now that the only interaction that they do is online. I mean, we see it every day in society. People won't talk to you in a public place, but, you know, they're Mr. Chatty online. That's where people would freak the hell out. On something like that happened.
There was an interesting picture I saw of kids waiting at a bus stop, like 7 or 8 kids. They're just standing there at the bus stop, all of them looking down at their phones.
Right.
Not talking to anyone, just looking at their phones.
I understand, but, you know, but people are also adaptive too. So, but outside of, you know, that discussion, anything else on those four games? Because there are a couple other things we need to.
I'm dragging us on. I'm getting a little off topic, but
yes, I'm trying to keep you on topic.
I know. Next anime series, and kind of an oddball one, is Dot Hack: Legend of the Twilight. This also got an American run. This takes place, I don't think that they give me an exact year, but around a decade after the original games ended. You have a couple of new characters, brother and sister, who log into the world for the first time, and they supposedly win a contest to have Dot Hacker avatars. So they look like chibi-fied versions of Kite and Black Rose from the game. And they have to, again, save the world as the heroes. He gets a bracelet of sorts, although it's not the exact same bracelet Kite used. Aura does come forth, and they have to battle some kind of evil aura thing. Which at the time didn't make a whole lot of sense, although later when you play another series called Dot Hack GU, things do make a little bit more sense with that. This show was nowhere near as dark as the original Dot Hack sign. It was a little more comedy oriented.
It was completely comedy oriented.
Okay, it was a gag show.
It wasn't a gag show, but it was a light hearted humorous take on this world. I mean,
which was the exact opposite of what Dot Hack Sign and the games were, which is why I never really liked it.
I thought it was excellent because it broke the mold of what was going on. And, you know, they're the little chibi characters. It's fun. They're still veiled in it's us against the world and, good versus evil. But it was done in a very lighthearted way. I thought it was pretty good. And it's a short watch. It's only about 10 or 12 episodes from what I can remember. So,
yeah, it's
once again, you're wrong, Jab Man. I just would like to let you know that.
Well, I understand that they were trying to, take it in a different direction. But if they were going to do that, they immediately went right back to the originals when they went to the next series. But Dallo, your thoughts on Legend of the Twilight?
Well, I'll be upfront and I'll say I'm not a huge fan of Legend of the Twilight, at least not the anime.
Paul, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
He's not wrong. It's just my opinion, but. The thing is about it is when I first saw it, again, I watched it when it was first airing. I initially was a little confused by it, if only because I didn't know where it was leaning up to, because everything up to that point, like all the games and the mangas and the previous anime led me to this point, and I was wondering how was this going to affect the Dot Hack storyline. And to a certain extent, I've accepted for what it is. It's not really, it's a lighthearted show. It is basically, it's still very much in the vein of, like, again, like Paul said, good versus evil CC Corp and organizations and hackers and all that. But one of the reasons I didn't necessarily like the show is that when it didn't lead into continuity, which for me for a while, the longest time was pretty much like the biggest thing for me in Dot Hack, which was continuity. And the little it was silly, but for some odd reason it felt a little too silly to the point that I almost couldn't enjoy it, especially since I was expecting more Dot Hack continuity. Essentially, one of the things I did like about it was the lighthearted music. I thought that was pretty well done. And the early part of the series, I did love the antics with Ballmunk and Black Rose. I did like Sanjuro, who's a character from the original games, being kind of a mentor to Shugo.
Shugo, yeah.
But beyond that, there wasn't really much for me to like, because eventually it just kind of led to a point that, for me at least, there wasn't a lot for me to actually like, because eventually it felt a little bit more convoluted, because eventually it just felt like they were trying to bridge something to the almost leading up somewhere with the new crazy AI at the end.
Well, it's just the same old thing they did before. They had to go against the AI. I mean, that's all. It was nothing. In the end, I mean, that's, I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to sit here and say that it's, it wasn't basically a recycled storyline.
Yeah, I will say that it's not recycled or anything like that. When I first saw it, I originally hated the series. I went so far as to say I would not buy it on DVD because I just didn't like it. But nowadays I've kind of cooled off on it, and I'm not the hugest fan of the series, but I accept it for what it is that it pretty much is in a Dot Hack series that's in a different continuity, essentially. So I've cooled off enough on it that I'd have bought the DVDs, at least some of them, but I haven't gotten the whole series. So take that as what you will. I will say I do prefer the manga a little bit more, but that's just me.
Scott, how's the sandwich? Are you done, or is it dessert time?
He's probably not even there.
he went off to get some ice cream. We'll check in on Scott with his sandwich and possibly ice cream in a moment.
So, are we going to go into GU? Because there's there's two things I want to mention just real quick.
Yeah, we'll go on. We'll talk about again the next show we get is another lead into another franchise, Dot Hack Roots. Now, this series goes back to the Dark Tone, but this takes place long after the end of the original Dot Hack franchise. I think there's a 20-year gap, I believe. That could be wrong.
No, it's
I don't
not,
know if it's that long. But
if I remember right, it was something like 4 years.
Yeah,
it wasn't as long as 20 years because there are characters from the original Dot Hack actually shows up.
Yeah, I think maybe it's closer to 8 or 9 years. But regardless, a bigger gap than like the 6 months it seems, or the 6 months it seems to have taken between the games and Legend of Twilight. But the point is, the original world is gone. It was destroyed in a fire. Not completely, but enough that they just said, okay, we're going to scrap it, and we're going to rebuild the world R2. For more all intents and purposes, Revision 2. The story takes place, or the main character of the story, rather, is a character named Haseo. He first enters the game. At first, he doesn't seem, you know, that interested in the game. He's just trying it out for fun. We see later that he, for the first time, he enters in the game. He is befriended by two characters. They take him out into the field and immediately betray him and kill him. The first and most darkest thing about this game is player killing is not only allowed, is encouraged with scoreboards.
Yeah.
See, you've killed the most other players. Good for you.
Because in the previous world, it was something that was frowned upon.
Right. It wasn't illegal, but it sure wasn't endorsed. Mm-hmm. They weren't exactly, you know, putting up, you know, signs that here's the best killer on the map. In this series, no, they're putting it up on the billboard saying, here's the biggest killer. Look at him go. He's butchering people left and right. But Haseo is rescued by a character named Ovan, and he invites him to join his guild, a kind of thing that's built up in this is there's different guilds that have different purposes. And surprise, surprise, that guild's purpose is to search for the key of the twilight.
Yeah, another chase again.
Yeah, another looking for the key of the twilight. There are lots of little subplots in this anime, most of which do not get resolved in the anime. It's another one of those things where they say, you want to see the rest of this story, buy the games. Which, again, not that shocking. Paul, did you see this show at all, or do you have any thoughts on it?
I actually watched like the first like 3 or 4 episodes as it was debuting in Japan. And I just stopped because it just never grabbed me. Like, it wasn't even the fact that it was just, a little bit darker tone or anything like that. Haseo, I just never really was attracted to the character. Didn't seem that interesting. And I just basically lost interest and have never seen it since, so. Dolo.
Well, I'll put this out here. I played the first games before I actually played the before I actually watched the Root series. So just to put that as my way of seeing the series. Yeah, I played GU before I saw the series.
Yeah, so. GU is the kind of like the sequel. Right. Roots and story wise.
Right. It takes place as soon as Roots end. It takes place, I believe, a month or two right after that.
Okay. So go ahead, Dolo.
Yeah. So basically, this is I like the series for the record. I don't think it's as good as Sign. The things I liked about it is that, again, great music, animation style was. I was a little iffy initially when I first saw it, but then again, I think that was just me getting used to a new Dot Hack again. There is one thing I will mention that I didn't mention about Sign is that Sign, when it first premiered again, and it came out around 2001, essentially, but it was one of the first anime series that I can remember at that time that was being aired in widescreen. So
yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there for everybody to note that. But getting back on Roots again, I liked a lot of the characters in it. A lot, like Jabman says, there are some plots that don't get resolved in it, but I thought that was perfectly fine. But then again, that comes from me from the fact that I was playing GU initially before I got to Roots, because Roots took a while for me to get to because I was buying the DVDs. And Eventually, Cartoon Network shuffled it to the late night airing, so I couldn't watch it again. So, the thing I like the most about it is the relationship between Haseo and Ovan. For some odd reason, whatever it was, Ovan really, I've said this before, and this will probably be the first time I've ever said this off on air on the internet, which is, to me, Ovan is basically the Trace Cucinato of the Da Hat series. So, and just if you see Ovan's history through from this point to the end, it's not really hard to make that argument. So, but the thing is about it is like it starts out with things is that he is Haseo is a rookie, so from opposed to Tsukasa, who for the most part may not have been a high level character but knew how to actually live in the world, knew all the rules essentially. Haseo doesn't really know the rules, so this is basically, as far as he's concerned, his first online experience with the game, and the only reason he joined is because all his friends were playing it. So eventually his friend, one of the girl he has an affection to and who is one of his best friends after Ovan disappears, because Ovan, like Trace Cucinato, pulls the disappearing act and nobody knows whatever happens to him. He eventually ends up going crazy because she gets PK'd by another character called Tri-Edge, who looks a little suspiciously like a ragdoll version of Kite. So he goes on this quest of going from looking for the key of the twilight to the chase after Tri-Edge, which carries over into GU, which for me, for the most part, when I first watched it, worked for me, because again, the way I treated Roots was as I was playing the games, Roots basically became a glorified prequel to the games. So
I did a similar thing. I didn't even know about the game until I caught a trailer. It was in Japanese on YouTube, and it was the trailer for the first GU game, and all it showed was Haseo walking into the church, looking at the Tri-Edge mark. He turns around, and there is ragdoll zombified Kite.
Yeah,
I did the same thing too, because I remember watching it online at one point as it was first being announced, and when I saw it, I got super hyped for it. Then
it was the exact same way. I was like, okay, what do I got to do? Started researching, found the series. I enjoyed Roots. I think it got very, very draggy in the middle. The beginning was good. In the end, Haseo's girl, Shino, I believe, gets PK'd, player killed, for those who don't know. And guess what? She falls into a coma. Everything, you know, really starts ramping up near the end, and it gets you excited for the game. But that show, again, could have been cut down by a good 10, 20 episodes. Well, 20 might be much, but you could have eliminated 10 episodes in the middle, and the show probably would have been better.
So I guess
whereas Dot Hack Sign kept you know, with little plot points going here and there and kept the tension high, Dot Hack Roots is like, come on, get on with it. Please hurry up the story now.
So I guess that's a good segue into GU then, the game that's set up, basically is set up by Roots and set in, you know, chronologically after. So
yeah, immediately after
when it comes to GU, I played GU, did not have the same enthusiasm as playing through it as I did with the first Dot Hack series, and didn't play volumes 2 or 3 mainly because I didn't want to, but they were harder than hell to find. And I couldn't find them at that time. Like, it was very difficult at that time to get one, probably because, and you know, of for whatever reason. And then, you know, I remember people not being too happy with GU Volume 1. So it must have made the other ones, very, you know, 2 and 3, very difficult to find. And I got to a point where it was like, if I'm having this hard of a time to find it, I just lost interest. So, you know, GU Volume 1 was good, kind of the same thing, you know, the dark tone, you know, very interesting to see what was going on in the world at that time, especially the, you know, the new version. And, you know, but I don't know, it just lost me. So,
yeah. Well, the GU games, basically, good lead in, take place, like I said, 2 months before after the end of the series, give or take. The main character, Haseo, has since become famous as a player killer killer.
Right.
Someone who kills the other players who have killed other players as kind of a revenge thing.
Right.
He's hunting down Triad, or at least he thinks he is. The gag is he'll show up. If you just killed someone, he'll grab you. Do you know Triad? You say no. He kills you. Moves on with it.
He's Batman of the freaking dot hack world.
More or less. But he's a really ragey, angry little brat. And the very beginning of the game, he's such a powerhouse. But you don't. Before you even get to try out this powerhouse, it's Tri-Edge again, or Kite, who data drains him back to level one.
Yeah, that's what does suck.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Everything he's gained, all his weapons, all everything, gone. He's right back to the beginning.
You pretty much raped him in that first battle.
Right, it's just kind of like, you really, Kite. Triage, whatever he is, but it's you're hunting me down this whole time. And guess what? Bang, back level one. Thank you. Have a nice day.
And that may be why I didn't, because you know, with an RPG, you got to build up and stuff like that. But it seemed a little just old school. We're gonna, lose all your. It's basically like Metroid. Oh, you have all this stuff. You lost it. Now you got to go back and find all these abilities.
Well, that was the nice thing about the first game is Kite was a newbie. He'd never done anything in the game. So you're building with him, whereas Haseo, he had all this stuff, and now you got to go back and get it again. Very, like I said, Metroid-ish.
Yeah. So.
But throughout the game, you meet some of the characters in the series, which is a little different because in the original Dot Hack games, you barely interacted with the characters from the original anime. Maybe you saw them once. But for the most part, they weren't a part of the game. This one, they are, obviously, because the main character from the anime is the main character in the game. All those characters show up again. And Haseo eventually learns of a group that is trying to eliminate a virus in the system called Ida. Not Aura, Ida. And as he's trying to find Triad, he learns he has these powers, which allows him to use an avatar named Skaith. Yep, that's Skaith. Which he uses to battle these big, giant, Ida worms or virus cores or whatever. And the gameplay was similar. They changed it up a little. I did actually like the gameplay itself a little bit better. But quite frankly, I didn't play the first Dot Hack games for the gameplay. I played them for the story. And for the most part, I didn't care for the characters as much as I did for the first game. There were, like I said, there were a lot of nice leadbacks. Game 3 for me is really where it's set. Game 1 was okay. Game 2 was a little bit better. Game 3 is when things got kicked off and you started learning everything that has happened since and how the characters have transitioned. One in particular moment, I don't think Paul would have seen this, but I'm pretty sure, Dahl, you did, is when you find out what happened to Elk from the first game because he is in the second trilogy. And I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, basically. Just as a kind of a note, there's a little, and this is something most people might not know, but they're very easy to find on YouTube, where I got the original special edition, like the special edition that I got at GameStop that came with the game, but also came with a figure of Haseo. But most importantly, it came with the DVD disc, which basically gave you a catch up on the original games and basically told you what happened in between the games, essentially, right, of the original games and GU, essentially, narrated by Richard Epcar, if I must mention. But I thought that was a really interesting way to do it because it basically told you how basically all these characters were able to control some of the avatars, like from the original Die Hard game, like Skaife, for example. So, because if you didn't have that, I could only wonder how confused would you be for a while.
Yeah, if it kind of assumes that you've played the other Dot Hack games, and if you haven't, you're going to be very lost very quickly.
Well, it takes you a while to catch you up. Part of that is because of the fact that they, in the original, when there was a project called the RA project, which was Revive Aura, because after the manga for Legend of the Twilight, or became a reclusive, essentially, and did nothing to the world, essentially. She chose to step back. And after that, there was a lot of bugging problems, and they decided to create an aura. That is, CC Corp decided to do that. And eventually, they did that by creating all the avatar, getting all the avatars that were related to the phases of Morgana, which leads into your original thing with Elk, because Mia was still a phase that was in the in humanoid form.
Wow. So this started to go way deep, dude.
Yeah. For all intents and purposes, here's, I'll go simpler. They wanted to try and bring back Aura, or bring back some version of her, and to do so, they had to kill Mia and take her data. So they basically just went down in front of Elk, grabbed Mia, erased her, took the data, and Elk was left sitting there looking for his best friend.
Yeah.
And he ends up exceedingly depressed and looking for her in the second game, which, and I felt so sorry for him. It's like, that just ain't right. Especially how casual they were talking about it. It's like, we found the cat character, we erased it, we extracted the data, we moved on. It's like, damn, that's harsh.
Well, just so you know, it's like, I'm sorry if I got a little too deep for everybody, but that's just how intimate I am with the Dot Hat series. I know all these things. but
yeah, they go into, if you really want to go into deep, deep level in the Dot Hack GU, much more so than the original four games, they really go into heavy, deep levels of backstory, and you can keep on digging for a long time before you find everything.
Yeah, but just getting back on...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to, I'll keep it brief on the game, on the GU games, where I like them very much. Graphically, they looked pretty darn good. I mean, you could tell they were a lot more cel-shaded than the original games, which I appreciated, because it gave it a little bit more color and a lot really more sharper edge.
It really did look like it was running on a different system, despite the fact they were both PS2 games, but it looked a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, and for the most part, I liked a lot of the characters. There are a number of characters in there from the original Dot Hack that cross over, like Kun, for example, but I'll leave him there right where he is. But overall, I like the series. I think it takes a little while to get used to it. I like Volume 1 technologically. Some of the smaller things I liked more in the original one better than I did like the other ones, because it seemed like every game there was this new gimmick they tried to introduce. Like in the second game, they released the Adler keys to unlock special weapons, and then eventually once you go to Volume 3, they get rid of the Adler keys and say you got to collect virus cores now for data drain, which it felt like that at one point they were trying to decide on something, but they went back on their original decision. So it felt like they were originally not doing it. And just going back on the localization from the first game to the second game, when you talk to the regular characters, like just casually and ask them questions, they would actually have voices, like actual voice clips. In the second games, they didn't have that. So that was a small little thing that I kind of missed, that I rank Volume 1 a little bit better than the other ones in terms of technology. Story-wise, they get better with each volume, in my opinion.
Right. Well, like I said, Dot Hat, the first volume, I think that's why a lot of people left it at the first volume, is because it was by far the worst of the three games. It had the same problem Roots did in it. Took a long time to really get the game moving. They come on, get on with the story, let's go. And I can see why Paul did bail out at that point.
To be honest with you, I didn't bail out of a choice. I bailed out because I was having difficulty finding Volume 2.
That's another hazard.
Yeah, exactly. To a point where it was like, I can't.
I remember going.
And then, you know, I'm just not going to, if I can't find it, then whatever. So I just.
Yeah, I can admit that when I got my. When I got my copy for the original, the special edition, like I mentioned, it was $40. And I only got it because I came across it and I said, I have to buy it. And each and every volume, I would check up to see when they were getting released. So I would always pre-order, but I would always hear like things from other people who said, oh, I'll just get it when it comes out. And I keep hearing, and I heard them, like, it was such a nightmare for them to actually find them, because a lot of them were like really limited prints to a certain extent.
Right. And I mean, even the first game that had issues, you know, games 3 and 4 were a little bit harder to get. You had to get there, you know, you had to be there pretty much release date to get that stuff. So, you know, that was just one of those situations. So
it was also around that. It was also around the time the PS3 was coming around, so people were trying to jump the bandwagon. And the 360 was out by that time, too, if I remember right.
That wasn't my, you know, that's not a big deal for me, so.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm just saying that the video game attitudes at that time.
So. I'll be honest with you. Outside of this point, I got nothing else to say on .hack because I haven't done Quantum. And I know there's some other stuff, so it's just going to be you two guys on this one.
Well, there's not a whole lot to talk about at this point, because after, for me personally, I pretty much stop at GU2. I finished the GU series. I did like how it ended. I'll go ahead and spoil it, too. Ovan was Triad the whole time, and the character that was... the kite character was actually hunting Ovan. He was trying to, he was created by Aura as protectors, and he was created in Kite's image, along with a Balmug and Orca image, too. I think they were called the Hunters. And they all hunted down and tried to destroy Triedge, which was actually an infected Ovan who was infected with a virus. I love in game 3 is you're only playing in about 3 hours, and all of a sudden you're suddenly fighting Ovan, you beat him. It's like, well, that was a really short volume 3. And right when you think the game's over, Kubia, your arch nemesis from the first game, pops up. You're like, oh, no. No, no, not Kubia again. That giant pain in the butt through all 4 games is back for the final time.
He was a pain in the butt in that game, too.
Oh, that final battle. Like I said, if Skaith was the worst battle in 1, they at least saved the worst for last, because Kubia in game 3 was a tough battle. But you do get rewarded by going all the way through, beating him. You do finally see Aura, who once again kind of says, I'm just going to let the world be as it be, do what you will, and goes right back to sleep. Said, it's your world to rule, I'm done. So apparently that ultimate AI is just like, you know what, screw you guys, I'm going to nap.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
I know, I'm just generalizing, but you get my drift.
Yeah, I do.
But you can kind of see why she didn't like the world as it was, with all the people killing each other, you know, and ranking them on scoreboards and that kind of thing. She really, you know, became a little disillusioned, and I don't blame her all that much. But all that follows, really, show-wise... is a game called .hack Link, and there was also a manga with that for the PSP, which I never played, and a movie / fighting game .hack Quantum, which is kind of a retelling of the original, sort of, kind of issues. Did you play either of those, Dallo? Because I sure didn't.
Well, I think he also forgot about Trilogy, too, .hack GU Trilogy.
Right, but that was a bit of a rehashing of the original GU games. They changed the plot a little bit.
I'll say this much now, other than if you're not watching it in Blu-ray, don't bother, because it's basically it's on the level of a bad Gundam compilation movie.
More or less, yeah. So they literally just use some of the PS2 cutscenes in some places.
Well, they're reanimated, but it's basically that, essentially.
Yeah, they doll them up a little bit, but not by much. It was I went ahead and did watch that. They changed the plot a little bit. I'm still not sure why they bothered changing the plot and just didn't keep me with the compilation theme, but.
Honestly, it's just a movie that should not have existed, in my opinion.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really good either, like you said.
Do you think it's one of these situations that .hack had its time and they were just trying to do one more thing for whatever reason? And
I think so,
because outside of that, they remixed the GU storyline like a lot. Mm. Like, they had the manga, which basically, again, was a... a retelling, which a good retelling, but it was a retelling. And then they had the light novel series, which basically, again, was a retelling of the GU series, again, a little differently, but not for the better. It was, it basically got to Evangelion levels of redo the same story. So
that's never a good way to do a show.
Yeah. One good thing about the original Dialogue, yes, they had mangas, yes, they had novels, yes, they had all this junk, but at least it was different stories. At least, you know, they were side stories
Story added to the universe. That's what I liked about it.
Whereas in GU, they just kept rehashing the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
Basically. And getting back on what you asked about the original, like, Link, I didn't play Link because I always held out that that Bandai Namco would localize it, but I'm not so keen on that so much anymore. And
if they were going to, they would have done it by now, unfortunately.
But I do know the story essentially, where it's basically, it takes place a set amount of years after R2 was basically shut down, and everything basically went to the handheld market essentially, which is, at that point, it was released on the PSP, so naturally, fits the story. But it basically followed this this kid called, if I'm pronouncing this right, Takeo, which basically, if you looked at him, you would say he pretty much came out of a Digimon story. He physically gets put into the actual game, the world, which is called RX essentially, and he has to travel through the backwards. The time of the Da Hack world essentially, and actually save it. So he actually goes into it to protect it, because there are some people called Sickle Cell who are actually trying to take over the world by way of aura, and they're trying to do this by altering the online history. And the game actually has a subtitling of the Twilight Knights, essentially, Twilight being a reference to Aura's nickname as the Key of the Twilight. And an important in this series for me is the fact that every character that's ever played the world has an online backup essentially, and it's been referenced a number of times. We've seen it with Tsukasa, you see it with the other AIs that you get in the fourth game of the original Dot Hack games. And eventually it gets culminated to the extreme where every Dot Hack game main character or characters gets referenced in Link essentially, and to the point that they all try to save the world from Sickle Cell, which basically happens in the game, to save the world from a corrupted aura at the end. So I know I haven't played the game. I only know it because I actually had to dig and really look for like translations and just intimate synopses, and actually go on looking for playthroughs of the game and actually go through translations essentially. That's the only way I know the game. And based on what I've seen, I would have really loved it. Just story content wise, the most I've heard about it is that it's very repetitive. And I played the demo for it, and then it's basically kind of like Kingdom Hearts battle system, like Birth by Sleep. It's kind of like that battle system almost. But it is a good game for the most part, and story-wise, it was at least good from what I was been able to decipher, which is a good chunk of it. As far as Versus and the movie, I will admit I don't know very much about it, considering, well, by that time, it's just, it got to a point where it's like, again, Bandai Namco wasn't localizing this stuff, and I was kind of hoping that Funimation would get the movie because it looked really beautiful. But again, they weren't going to bring Versus over, and there was some like weird thing where it's like, if they can't bring the game over, because the movie technically was on the same Blu-ray, it was a Blu-ray hybrid. So if the movie wasn't coming over, it was because of the fact they weren't going to localize the game. So yeah, it's more woes for myself. But
I did, like I said, I did read the Dot Hack Link manga. They did localize some of the volumes over here, but I think they canceled it about halfway through, so I had to track down the rest online. And the plot is basically the same. I was curious if the game was slightly different, but no, it's the exact same thing. But Like I said, it seemed like more of a nostalgia trip for us people who played the original Dot Hack games. You know, you go back and revisit all those characters all over again.
No nostalgia train, please.
Well, for the record, I didn't see it as really as a nostalgia thing. More as like I saw it more as a kind of a wrapping up of past plot points and maybe just bringing the character. Because I saw also as a just basically bringing in new fans essentially and just referencing the old series, which every series at that and I think Dot Hack at that point kind of needed that, especially. But I don't know. The only thing I've actually seen, which is Quantum, which is, I think, a good point to go into. But since I've been talking for a while, I'll pass it over to Jabman to talk about Quantum.
Unfortunately, your knowledge of Quantum is probably going to be a lot greater than mine. Quantum, basically...
Well, if you don't know anything, just have him say something.
you'll say something, Dolly. You'll say it better than I will, because my knowledge is base at best.
Oh, gosh.
Is your knowledge base at best?
Well, I actually own the cop, own it, so I guess I'm better than most people who only download it.
Go for it.
Well... Quantum is basically, it's kind of in the vein of like the Legend of the Twilight, essentially. It's basically three characters who, it's a short series. It's only three episodes, and it basically the unique thing about it is that it basically references their online life and their offline, like, in continuum. It follows three high school girls who play the world on a consistent basis, essentially, and they get drawn up, essentially, in this little thing where one of the main character who plays a kite looking character named Sakia, actually get one of her friend who gets PK'd essentially and falls into a coma, who's playing another slightly tweaked version of Black Rose, essentially. So it's kind of in that way of like having the same avatars, just different characters. And the thing is about it is that as they go through, they meet a character that looks a little bit like a chibi version of Mia, essentially. And they find out that he's actually a character who ended up getting locked in the world, essentially, who has no body in real life because his body died because of some illness, I forget. But again, it comes down to that point where it's kind of an interlude, essentially, between the Link game. And it's pretty much the link, quote unquote, to between the game, the PSP game, to the movie, and eventually the Versus, essentially, because that's basically what it is. It's really an online interview. If you don't know anything about Dot Hack per se, I think you could come in and very much enjoy it just for what it is. And if you have just a little bit of Dot Hack knowledge, it actually goes a long way because you see a lot of shout outs to a lot of older characters, essentially, which made sense. And you see some things that get referenced in the older games that are still affecting the game at that point. It's kind of treated like a half slice of life to a detective story of bringing back their friend.
I did see Dot Hack Quantum. Like I said, it's been a while since I've watched it. One of my favorite scenes in that is they did introduce, which I kind of wish they put in the game, quite frankly, a battle system where they'd have a war. They'd have two rival factions fighting over a piece of land and, you know, just trying to, you know, increase their own status. They just have a giant battle Lord of the Rings style. Yeah. And they were in the middle of this game and all of a sudden everyone got put in the game. You know, they downloaded everyone's consciousness into the game. So when this guy got stabbed, he fell over, you know, groaning in pain because he literally just got stabbed. And the guy goes, "Man, enough play acting, man. You know, I think you're overdoing it a bit." And he sees he's actually bleeding and he realizes, "Oh, this isn't right. I might have just stabbed someone. What's going on?" And, of course, they follow up in a full-on panic. And I did enjoy the fact that stupid steam gun that we see in GU, which I kept expecting us to use, we never actually used it in the whole damn game. They finally did use it in that anime, so at least we get to see what that stupid thing does.
You were actually expecting them to use it in the game?
I was hoping. I mean, they reference it. They keep showing it in the backgrounds. Like, come on, at some point I'm sure I get to fire this thing. No, you never get to even see it.
For the record, I always knew we weren't going to use it, but then again, that's just me because I actually read the threads in the game.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But understandable.
I was like, oh, come on. It's a big, giant gun. We're in a video game. We fire big, giant guns. Let's go.
But, yeah, beyond...
Anton Chekhov is very upset with these people right now.
He lives.
Oh, by the way, Scott, how was your sandwich?
It's a good sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, but beyond that, after Quantum, you only have, again, like I said, the movie and the Versus game, but beyond that, there isn't anything else. And CyberConnect 2 has alluded to the fact that they're kind of done with GU at this, or .hack in general at this point. I know they've said that a couple times here and there, and there was a recent interview that said they were working on one, but then it got put out by Bandai Namco that said they're not making another one. So I think it's kind of gotten to this point that .hack as a series might be hitting its end game, essentially, if not already at its end game.
Well,
so
I know this sounds better, but honestly, I'm okay with. I'm happy with where the series took me. I don't think we need to revisit it again because I'm almost afraid where they'd go with it at this point.
I would be okay with it if they actually localize a lot of the stuff, but the problem is, again, a lot of it they don't localize, so...
Yeah. But so, I like the story. I like where it was. I like the experience. But I think, you know, it's one of those things. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
We've had our ends.
We've seen the end of the story. We've gotten most of, but not all, the plots, finished up. Maybe, a little anime here and there every once in a while, but I don't think we need to go back to it hardcore.
Pretty much. I think it pretty much is at that point. I will say that if you came into the series again and started playing again on GU, once you got to game three, if you decided not to go beyond that point, I wouldn't blame you. And if you feel that the GU story ended with the game series ended in GU, I wouldn't blame you either. I would say you're still missing out. But at the same time, a lot of the stuff after that didn't get localized, so you're probably doing yourself a favor because you're saving yourself a lot of frustration.
Well, it's a nice little bow out with what Quantum was. It was a nice little, thanks for coming. I mean, the follow-up movie that they did in Japan, I didn't really see a purpose to it. It looked pretty, but I didn't see a purpose to it. But I kind of saw .hack Quantum as the final, bowing out of the series. It's been a fun ride. We'll see you around for our next story we're going to tell you. But .hack, I think, mainly what I wanted to do this episode of this podcast, which thank you, Scott, for letting me take over your show for an episode, is I think .hack is one of those animes and video games that kind of gets overlooked. It is one of those, games that was much more influential and much more ahead of its time than people give it credit for.
Well, if just to give my final thoughts on the series, I think it's a very much a unique series, and I've said this before. Again, I've said this, and I'm going to say this again. .hack, I think when it came out, was unique, and it probably only could have came out at the point that it did during like the early 2000s when we had that huge big anime boom here in the States, especially. Because by that time, we got everything that was pretty much almost related to Gundam, but everything that was pretty much related to .hack, essentially. Like, again, we got from the light novels, the manga, all the way to the animes and the games. So there was a lot of backstory that you could actually go track down. It might be a little hard to find, but it's worth it in the end just because it, again... Like we mentioned, this was stuff that was created in the early 2000s, and they're referencing stuff that we're just now starting to having to deal with online gaming and serious online security problems. So I would say that it's very much worth looking forward to if you wanted to dive in. I will just say try everything you can get your hands on, whatever you can find. And I
good
will
luck finding it though.
I will say I thank Tokyo Pop for localizing everything they did, even with some of the questionable translations that they had. But at least they localized it. So, but that's just me. I'll pass over to Paul for his final thoughts if he wants to give them out.
Well, yeah, I think it's just it's a very interesting concept that they had. It worked when it came out. I kind of disagree with you guys. I don't know at this point if you hadn't been part of it when it came out and you tried to deal with it now. I don't think it works. I think it's just because of it's just one of those kind of lightning in the moment, you know, lightning in the bottle type moments where it just happened. Whoever was a part of it could really see it and can really enjoy it, but you know, down the road now, let's be honest, why would you play an RPG that's an offline version of an online game? And it just doesn't.
If you tried to put that game out today, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even just telling people that haven't even experienced it to try to deal with it may be a little difficult. I mean, I'm not saying that people shouldn't. You should always broaden your horizons on things, but and I think the other thing is it kind of falls into the same problem that a lot of things have now, is it was successful, it was critically acclaimed, all that, and then they just kind of wrote it a little too long, and that's what it kind of sounds like, especially with these last few incarnations. So not downgrading what the series was or anything like that, but I mean, let's be realistic. It would be difficult to tell somebody to go deal with it now, unless you really want, you know, something that is, kind of a suspend reality type of deal. But we know most people can't do that. So
I think part of the problem was that eventually that the series went from consoles to handhelds, and it's kind of stayed there since then, up until like the latest game, which again was a fighting game for all intents and purposes. So, and honestly, at that point, they just need if they wanted to create something, they really have to come up with something different that maybe is just one game. Cause honestly, that's where the industry is going now. So, but
well, we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
That being said, I would still love to see that HD remaster. I don't think it'll ever happen, but I would love if they'd say, we're going to do the all 4 .hack games and all 3 .hack or GU games on a remastered HD disc for the PS3 or whatever. But like, sign me up. I'll buy them.
Same here. I'm still waiting for it. I doubt it'll
happen. I don't think it'll ever happen. I'd love to be proven wrong, but never know.
I don't have my hopes up. That's for sure.
If it's cheap enough, they'll do it.
If they make money off it, they will. Yeah. But yeah. I will say, it's probably going to happen in Japan long before it ever comes out to, if it ever happens in the West. I'll put that out there. I'm a hoper and dreamer, but I'm not that big of a hoper and dreamer. But that's all she wrote before .hack for the most part.
So final conclusion, good series, worked for its time. How well it would work now is debatable. Underrated, I think, but it's not, you know, it wasn't a revolutionary, oh my god, this changed the gaming world, but I don't think people do give it enough credit for what it did. In my humble opinion.
So
yeah, that's all there is to it. I thank Scott and you, Jabman, for inviting me on the show.
Well, thank you, Dallo. I appreciate you coming on. Paul, you're still a pain in the butt, but thanks for coming along. And Scott, thanks for letting me take over the show for an episode. How was your sandwich?
It was a very good sandwich.
Are you awake?
I am awake.
Did you get something to drink?
Yeah. I have alcoholic very nice or not? Beer. Very yes. Nice beer tonight.
I had a feeling.
What kind?
It is a cobblestone stout from Mill Street Brewing.
Nice.
Now available in cans, which means I don't have to drag my butt downtown to the brewery to get some.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I can't drink beer in cans. I just can't do it. It's got to be in a bottle.
Hey, aluminum's up, man.
It just depends. Depends what beer it is.
Well, it's stout, so it has to have the nitro tab in it. And
yeah.
With the bottle, those don't always play nice.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the
the bottles with the nitro tap, it just doesn't taste right. No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay. There is one thing I want to mention about Da Hag that I forgot to mention.
Oh, go, man.
Just the music. We didn't really talk about the music for the most part, but
yeah, I mentioned all one song.
Yeah, he did mention in the first series they did play that song. It was it was a good song, but
you're talking about Key of the Twilight, right?
No, Dot Hack Sign.
Oh, yeah.
They just played the same song the whole time.
That seesaw song they kept playing over and over again.
Oh my god, all the time.
Yeah. I get what you're. Sorry, but I just want to say is like the music, for the most part, it's always stuck with me just as one of those kind of nostalgic points that if I want to play, it's a good pick me up. That's all. But I'm now done completely with Da Hack now. So
the game soundtracks for both games were surprisingly good as well. I mean, we didn't mention that, but that's one of those few game soundtracks that I actually tracked down just because I enjoyed the music so much. GU in particular had very good music.
I have the new type in Da Hack CDs that were released in Japan in my collection.
Yes, I tracked those down just because I enjoy them that much. But I guess that'll do it. Again, thank you, gentlemen. Scott, thanks for enjoy your sandwich, and we'll see you next time.
Next time.
Goodbye.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under an international attribution non-commercial share alike Creative Commons license version 3.0. Please visit sbopodcast.blogspot.com for more episodes and contact information.